Okay, we're on our final Shir on Kedoshim. It's evidently a self-selective group. This is to a certain extent the end of our journey together. On a certain level, that we started as we keep referencing back all the way in Shmini, and come to a conclusion all the way in Parsha Kedoshim. It reaches its peak, its apex, its height in Kedoshim, which we've been building up to. Then in Parsha Shmini, we, through the loss of Nadav and Avihu on the day of the Hakamat HaMishkan, that we were introduced to the concepts of Tuman Tahara and Kodesh and Chol. I'm still a little bit shaken just to kind of frame our learning for today. It should, first of all, as it's already up on the board, it should be the Lo Nishmat Nesha Tzilka Bat Miriam, the mother of a former student of the Midrashah. And at the same time, as a refuah shlema for Tinoch ben Shoshana Bracha Peral, Shoshana Bracha Peral of Mendel Sara, kind of again, as my Rebbe calls, says, I've quoted this before, probably in the context of Parsha Shmini, where he mentions it, that they said that one time he was traveling from in Yerushalayim from a funeral at Har Herzl to a wedding, and he said that this is really a Jewish day. There's something very much about who we are that kind of bridges these two opposites. In this world, which is a complicated and difficult place, and it's with mixed emotions that we utilize the schuyot of the shir, that it should be a schus both for Refuah Shlema and Aliyah Neshama, people that are so close to the Midrashah and to our campus. With that, let's go into Parshat Kedoshim, our last shir that we'll be going to learn on Parshat Kedoshim. I framed how we're going to kind of work together through this last year, last time. I want to shift it a little bit. Same, similar idea, different perspective. And that is that in our definitions of Kedusha that we defined, we've been deepening, we've been exploring, we keep referencing a word that I think is not 100% so clear why we keep referencing, except for the fact that I seem to be claiming that it's intrinsic to Kedusha, and I think that we need to do better in exploring why that word is so key to what Kedusha is about. And that is that we keep talking about relationships. In our three-faceted definition, we talked about how Kedusha is being totally dedicated to one thing. Hekdesh is, that is a relationship, but it's not how we think about relationships. We talked about the opposite of Chol, that Kodesh has its center, it is filled with content. That doesn't seem to automatically bring to mind the concept of relationships. And godliness, that's a very big concept, but why there also? What's the meaning, and why is there a presumption on my part that this is connected to the concept of relationships? And we talked about how it clearly manifests itself through the Kodesh HaKodashim, and the centerpiece of the Kodesh HaKodashim is the Kruvim, and there's a relationship aspect there, clearly indicating the relationship to God and Klal Yisrael. But I want to open that up and develop that a little bit more, and then also bring it down the Maaseh and the relationships that we have in this world. Which, parentheses, is what I strongly suspect is what's happening in this Parsha. So we will hopefully also link it back to the text itself, which is what we always try to do. To do that, I actually want to bridge Monday, Wednesday, and Tuesday, Thursday in the Midrashah. And quote for you, an incredibly powerful line, I can't, with the Ramchal, everything's powerful, an incredibly powerful line from Derech Hashem, where, as only the Ramchal can, he summarizes the entirety of why everything exists into one succinct sentence. He says as follows. It's in Chelek Aleph, the very first line of Perek Bet. Hinei, says the Ramchal, Hatachlit Babriya, the goal of creation. This is the Ramchal, parentheses, based on Kabbalah, as God gave to us, as you received, that's what Kabbalah means, as you received the tradition of Kabbalah, based on the limitations of our understanding, because we can't understand God or His will. It's infinite, we're finite. But based on what God gave us, so that we could do what we need to do in this world, God says, through the process of Kabbalah, this is what the world is. This is why it exists. Why did God create the world? Alpi Kabbalah. Why did God create the world? Hinei ha-tachlit babriyah, the goal of all of creation, haya lehetiv mituvo yitbarach shemo lezulato, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give of His goodness to another. That's it. And when we learned this in the Midrashan, Derech Hashem, we actually spent 45 minutes just on this one line. Because a person needs to spend a lifetime on this line. That the whole goal of creation, HaTachlit B'Brayni Haya Lehetiv Mituvo Yitbarach Shemo Lezulato, meaning, there are three fundamental components to creation, and the Derech Hashem people should know this backwards and forwards. The three fundamental components to creation are Hashem, the Zulato, the other, the being which will receive the goodness, the Tov, that which is being given. Whatever this means, and it needs more explanation to understand, what does it mean that God has good, wants to give good, what does it mean that God wants? Again, all of these things are based on the limitations of understanding and need to be understood hashkafically, and Ayin Sham in that Derech Hashem Shir, the way we talked about it, and we framed it in Perek Aleph, we continued on to the beginning of Perek Bet, in Chelek Aleph, but however it is that one understands that concept, that God, that we can know what God wants, or that God gives us an understanding of what He wants based on our limitations, so we know what to do, we know why we're here, based on our limitations of understanding. Fine, working within that framework. There's God, and God, the purpose of creation, what's the impetus for creation? God wants to give what? His goodness. God wants to give good to another. And what I want to do is slowly work back in this. Let's even work in the English. God wants to give someone, I should have correct, good to another. A line that we quote here in the Midrash often is from Lecha Dodi, Sof Ma'aseh B'Machshavah Tchila, which means, does not listen to this particular instance. I take it back. That's fine. I mean, it does work here, but not in this particular, in the way we're going to work this. What we're going to do is we're going to actually work back toward the origin and work back toward the root. Because that's how this works. This sentence is in order. What is the least significant part of the sentence? What is the end point of this sentence, which needs to be there for all of the other pieces to have their fulfillment? The other. We often think the goal of creation is man. Man is the centerpiece of the created world, but he's at the end of this sentence. What comes before that? The good. God wants to give good. It's unbelievable that the fundamental basis of all of reality, of all of the world, is that God just wants to give good. That's it. That's the whole thing. God wants to give good. And it's that, quote-unquote, desire of God that produces all of reality, which shows when we talk about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tov, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world is Tov. Of course it has to be so. The whole basis, the fundamental basis of reality is goodness. And anytime we see things in the world, especially the way that we opened up, anytime we see things in the world that seem to definitively contradict the ultimate goodness and kindness of God, the ultimate Tov at the heart of the Bria, it challenges us and forces us to dig deep to try to understand how does this exist within the context of Tov. Because this is all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. All He wants is to give Tov. That's the fundamental basis of reality. The desire to give good. Now, I didn't catch if it was Sherry or Sima, but one of you didn't left out good because you worked back in the sentence. The fundamental concept of the creation is not just to give good. You took it back one word. I think it was you, Sherry. You said, what was the point of creation? You said to... Was it you?
Give.
You just said to give. Because you're working hashkafically deeper than that. Meaning, yeah, God wants to give something, and then it's fine what that thing is. That thing is good. Who does it go to? It goes to the other. So you're taking it one step forward. But if we even take it one step back, the fundamental goal of reality is not just to give good, and that again, each piece of this needs to be processed, is that God wants to give. The fundamental basis of reality is to give goodness. It's the basis of all reality. If we take it one step more fundamental, deeper, earlier, more origin, more root, it's the deep desire to give. That underlies all of reality. The deep desire to give. Now, it's beautiful that in Hebrew, we don't need to make that distinction. Listen to the words of the Ramchal. Where does he say to give? What word means to give? Lehetiv. What does that mean? To give good. Which is fascinating. Meaning the giving and the goodness are one in that Hebrew word. But as we unpack it, the giving is even more fundamental. The centerpiece of all of reality is that, of course, there's a God, and it always starts with God. Without him, quote-unquote, wanting something, desiring something, whatever that means, there's no reason for anything to exist. Once we get past here, it's to give good to another. In that order, give good to another. Which means that the fundamental principle of reality is based upon a relationship, and it defines how that relationship works. How does the most primary relationship in all of reality work? What is it founded upon? What principle?
Desire to give to the other.
Giving. Period. Relationships are all about giving. Now, speaking of Hebrew words that are interesting in their structure, there is a particular word that we use in the context of relationships that implies giving when one digs into the depth of that word.
Ahava.
Ahava. Ahava is from the Hebrew word, Hebrew root, hav. Hav means to give. But ahava means love. Now that sounds like a very fluffy idea. But it's not. God created the world to give. And ahava means a relationship of giving. Which means that the world is founded upon the premise of love and good. And the deep desire to enter into a relationship of love by giving to another. That's at the centerpiece of the creation of all of reality. Which again, only to keep emphasizing that point, and it always has to circle back around to the same place. Where does that circle around to always? Where do we keep coming back to? The Kodesh HaKodeshim. The Kodesh HaKodeshim revolves around two beings standing face to face with each other, gazing at each other in a loving relationship, thinking back also to the Shemot Shirim. We talked about Bayit, and we talked about building a Bayit Ne'eman B'Yisrael, a reality, a relationship of Kiddushah. That nobody, nothing else goes in that space. It's either the two Kruvim looking at each other and nothing else is there, or the Kohen Gadol goes in only by himself to the Kodesh HaKodeshim to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's always to no one else, in a relationship where the goal is only to give to the other, looking at the other, gazing at the other. And when the Kodesh HaKodeshim is alive, when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing in this world, what do we keep saying? What do the Kruvim do? They gaze lovingly at each other, giving to each other. When we don't do Ratzon Hashem in this world, when we're not looking to give, when really what we're doing is to look selfishly to take, then the Kruvim look away from each other, indicating that the very center of reality has been turned on its head, has been turned upside down, has been flipped from what it was meant to be. These are the two opposites that are pulling at each other. And this is the fundamental piece of what reality is about. The goal is to give. And that is, if that's what's in the center of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, that is what Kedusha is about. It's about a loving relationship of giving, which is redundant in Hebrew, because a loving relationship is one of giving. Period. That's the goal. There's another place, another space in which lives the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Where does the Kodesh HaKodeshim live outside of the Mishkan, outside of the Beit HaMikdash? Inside every single one of us. We have our own Mishkan, our own Azara, our own Kodesh, our own Kodesh HaKodeshim, Vasuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Tzelcham, inside of every single one of us. Which means that in our centerpiece is Kedusha. The center of my being is Kedusha. In the center of my being are Kruvim. In the center of my being is the drive for what? Well, so that's complicated. I would say as follows. In the center of my being is the drive for relationship. Two things gazing at each other. Proper relationship, improper relationship, I don't know. And wouldn't you know it? Regardless of the fact that the majority of the world doesn't know anything about the Torah, that even a lot of the Torah world doesn't delve into these aspects of Torah. What is the whole world obsessed with?
Relationships.
Certainly Jews. Right? Both Latov and Lera. Obsessed with relationships. I think, and this small piece about relationships being universal is my own. Everything else says Masorah to it, but I strongly suspect this to be true. That if relationships are at the core of reality, and humanity, human beings stand at the center of reality, and at the center of ourselves stands Kruvim, our very being, the way that human beings are designed, is that we're beings that are desperate for relationship. But that relationship needs to be filled with content. As we've talked about before, there actually is one other thing in the context of the Kodesh HaKodeshim. What else is in there? The Aron, what's in the Aron? The Luchot. What are the Luchot? What does it embody? The Torah which defines the proper context of that relationship. Who you're allowed to have a relationship with. How that relationship is supposed to play out. How that relationship is supposed to manifest. Without the Torah, you don't have a guide of how to actually build your Kodesh HaKodeshim. You don't have any guide as to how to create that reality. You end up with an endless number of relationship-oriented beings that are desperately trying to relate to something but don't know what it is. And most of them only are trying to end up relating to themselves. Through relating to another. And that's why relationships are so complicated. Because the Torah defines that love is actually about giving. The outside world will tell you that love is about taking. I love her because she does this for me, because she gives this to me, because. We explain it based on what the other does for me. So is it relational? Yes, but it's hijacking that relationship for service of myself. That service of self, that's Avodah Zarah, that we've talked about throughout Sefer Vayikra, throughout Sefer Shemot, and in Parshat Ki Tisa, all of it starts to come back together. Yeah.
But giving also makes you feel good.
Giving also makes you feel good.
And you're still taking.
So that is a deeper level of avodah, of peeling away the layers of selfishness, even in the realm of giving. To give totally selflessly is, these are deep levels of avodah, because it's true kiddusha, and it's true relationship, and it's true giving.
So the goal is to give and you'll feel horrible about it?
No. The goal, it doesn't matter how, the answer is it doesn't matter how I feel. We talked about this last time also, we quoted the Mishnah on Pirkei Avot. That a person should work as an Eved Shel Lo Lavo Aman L'Chabal Pras. We've learned in Derech Hashem, you're in Derech Hashem also, if you do mitzvot, if you do Ratzon Hashem, if you give to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, quote-unquote, do you get Sachar? What if you don't want the Sachar? Do you still get the Sachar? 100%! So don't feel sad about it, don't deny it, but the question is, why am I doing it? What's my motivation? And isn't that so interesting, that motivation's at the heart there? Because what did we talk about last year? Well, that's what I'll meet your shot. I think. You guys may disagree. But what we talked about last time was how specifically in the realms of Arayos and eating, there are two areas of relationship where I can look like I'm giving no matter what. I can look like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do no matter what. The only person who knows what my motivations are me and God. And truly purifying oneself. Also, we were drawing back on a lot of stuff from the past, so I hope it's all coming together. We're drawing on a lot of things we've been building up to. The different ways of bringing things into reality, from most external to most internal. Maaseh, dibor, machshava, ratzon. That I'm purifying myself on every level of being. That I'm purifying myself, that I'm doing what God wants. I'm doing what the other wants. All I'm doing is speaking about what the other wants. That's all I'm really talking about. I say, I'm not just doing it. I'm not just begrudgingly coming and handing my wife flowers. I'm asking her what type of flowers she wants. I'm telling the guy at the flower shop, I need the most beautiful bouquet because I just want to give her what she wants. I want to give her the most beautiful flowers ever. It's a little more complicated. What's really going on in my mind when I'm saying that? Am I thinking that, or am I just saying the words? And purifying my thoughts that all I really want in my mind, all I want in my mind is just to give. And without, again, we just don't have the time to go into it. Real, I mean, like, levels of avodah that take a tremendous amount of time to get to. None of this stuff is meant to be overnight. But all I want to do is to give. That I've purified myself so much that even that which is produced from me, I don't think, are my desires me, or do I have desires? Which one is it? Anybody?
I have desires.
So are desires you, or are they something you have? Something you have. Is to purify me that somehow is more fundamental, more core than even my ratzon. That what I want is what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. What I want is what the other wants. Now isn't that fascinating? That's another Mishnah under Ke'avot. What Mishnah is that? Asay ritzoncha ki ritzono. Which implies that if you actually, one actually delves into the depth of that, and doesn't just read it superficially, that one can actually purify one's own ratzon to match up with God's ratzon. Meaning, the goal is, I only want what you want. It's all about you. Asay ritzoncha ki ritzono. What's the flip side of that Mishnah?
So that his ratzon
is then matched up with your ratzon. You know, it's interesting. My Rebbe believes in this, the Turban that we're always talking about, believes in this very deeply. So there's a book that's all about this, a children's book. Rebbe, I'll clarify, because this didn't come from a Vav, this came from a Vav. What book is all about giving? What children's book is all about giving? The Giving Tree. And in a chug that he gave to the guys who came to him from yeshiva on the night of Chug, they go to different Rebbeim's houses. I wasn't there for this year. He told me this story. He read The Giving Tree for a Chug. What?
Adorable.
It's amazing. I really wish I would have been there. He read The Giving Tree and talked about it. This is the fundamental principle of life. And one of the student's parents was in the room, he told me. And the student's parents said, "You're wrong. That is not the goal of life. You won't survive." He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "There's only a certain amount that you can give before you cease to exist. And the goal isn't to end up like a giving tree, like a stump with nothing left. You'll die. That's not a happy book. That's not a good book." And he said, "I don't care what you say about psychology. I'm telling you this is the goal of life." And they went back and forth about it, evidently. I only have the story from this side. But it was a back and forth about what the goal is. And I'll be psychology, that's true. You can't just give. You will just wither and die. How do you stay alive in a relationship of giving?
You feel good about the giving. It's not just...
That's about me, then.
You have someone else who's giving to you.
Exactly. The way that a true relationship of love works, and the only way to live within the context of true ahava, of true kiddusha, and one can never focus on what the other's giving or not giving, but the only way it really works is in this paradigm. With a recognition that each one is giving to the other, is giving everything to the other. And if I give my whole self to you, I'm not expecting it in return, but the way that I'm going to survive giving my whole self to you is if you give your whole self to me. And I'm never going to ask for it, I'm never going to focus on it. That's not the point. We're not here talking about what to look for in a partner. I'm looking for somebody who's going to give their whole self to me so I can give myself to them. So I can do what I want to do in this world, which is do what God wants. That's you've totally missed the point. None of you in this room. I don't see totally the point at that point. The point is that's how a healthy functioning relationship works. There are many other healthy, somewhat dysfunctional relationships. You cannot be, it's work to get there. It's endless work to get there. It's a lifetime of work, particularly in a marriage, to get there. That's the paradigm relationship. For a relationship with God, which also takes a lifetime to get there. God only wants one thing. God's already living up to his end of the bargain, to his part of the relationship. How is God living up to it? From the very second, the very millisecond, the very ratzon, the moment the ratzon spread out for creation itself, what was God's ratzon? To give. And to give what? Good. To what? Another. It's the fundamental of reality. And I'm working my entire life to recognize that if I just stop focusing on me and my selfish desires are related to myself, and I carve out that space by truly, totally dedicating myself to another, by truly dedicating myself to God and God only, definition one of Kiddusha, then by creating that space, by creating that empty space inside of myself, I will definitionally be filled with content, definition of two of Kiddusha. And what content is that? Godliness. And the three come together. The more I pour out to give to God and live up to the fundamental principle of creation, the more I live the flip side of that. The more I live within that, the more I am kadosh. Because if I'm giving everything that I am to God, God is already waiting to give everything that He is to me. And then I'm totally dedicated to something else, and therefore I am filled with godliness. It's all about relationships. It's all about relationships. And wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you know it? That answers what to me was one of the most fundamental problems that I struggled with Parshat Kedoshim. I always was troubled by the fact that so many individuals in Divrei Torah, from pulpits, whatever it may be, when they talk about Parshat Kedoshim, what is the first thing you want to focus on? No, nobody talks about Kedusha. Halavai. What are they focusing on? What do they talk about? What is Parshat Kedoshim about Kedusha, and what are all the mitzvot in Parshat Kedoshim about? Parshat Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. Isn't that amazing that the Torah comes to Parshat Kedoshim and just gives endless mitzvot Ben Adam L'Chaveiro? Have you ever heard that Torah before? Because I've heard endless different Torah like that. No one? Good, you're going to the right places. I haven't been going to the right places. And I struggled with it and struggled with it. It's like, that's the definition of Kedusha. Relationships are important, but how is that so? And then I would take a look at the Parsha. And I got to tell you, it's not what the Parsha is about. There's a lot of Bid Adam Machaveiro in there. There's also a lot of Bid Adam Makom. So what does that mean? Right? This is where we, as a Midrashah, think critically about the text and don't just listen on the outside in. Take a look at the text inside. Don't take my word for it. First of all, the first mitzvah bridges the two. Ish imo v'aviv tzira'u. That's Bid Adam Machaveiro. It's between one of one's parents. The et shabtotai tishmoru. Is that about people or God? Yeah. Next pasuk, el tifnu el ha'alim. God. And again and again and again, it's a lot of God stuff here. If you ignore it, there's also a lot of Adam Machaveiro. You have to ignore a lot of content in order to do that. So it's fascinating that there's both Bid Adam Lamakom and Bid Adam Lachaveiro in this parsha. I agree. And I understand what that means. But first of all, it's both. Why is it both? What does actually unify all of the mitzvot? Relationships. How do you be kadosh? Kedoshim to you, kadosh Hashem Elokeichem. I'll give you a whole parsha. You relate to me. You focus on me, says God. And you focus on each other. There's only one person you stop focusing on, which is the whole goal of life. Stop endlessly focusing on yourself. And make sure to remember, it's all of these beautiful social justice mitzvot. They're not social justice mitzvot. What is being talked about here? Giving charity, taking care of the ger, the atom, the amanah, giving agricultural mitzvot. They're not just agricultural mitzvot. If you're leaving leket and peah and shechah and all these things, why are you leaving them? Because there's somebody out there who doesn't have. And I want to give from what I have to somebody else. And if I'm serving something spiritual, I only serve God. And I'm giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. That's what the parsha is about. How do I frame my life as recognizing that relationships are the most fundamental piece of life? And how do I focus on giving in every way that I can? And not forgetting anyone or anything. Even the people I'm most likely to forget. Even the people I'm most likely to trample on. How do I take everybody into account? And give to God because it's all I want to give to. And if God wants me to give to everybody else, how under the framework of Torah do I give to everyone and only in the context of Torah? And that goes for my parents. And that goes for my neighbor. And that goes for the person I'm doing business with equal rights and measures. And that goes to the poor people in the community around me. And that goes to how I give to God. And then at the end of the day, it goes to the singular most important relationship that I have in this world, which is, in this world, with my spouse. And then Arayot gets repeated at the end of Parshat Kedoshim. The deepest and most difficult and most challenging relationship to create is a relationship of Kedusha. Gets repeated at the end. As an aside, just to really come full circle, after going through all of that, what actually comes to the last few psukim right after it talks about all the forbidden relationships at the end of Parshat Kedoshim? What does Torah accidentally trip and fall into before it closes up? Of course, food. Because the Torah is always going to bring those two together at the conclusion of a parsha like Kedoshim. Put it right back in there. Make sure it's there. Fascinating, right? Always comes through. Always comes through. What we talked about from last time and two times ago. This is what Kedusha is about. I did say last time that we would at least bring it down the Maaseh a little bit. I think this is Lamasa. I think that you don't even need to take it more Lamasa. I think if a person reads all the mitzvot in Kedoshim and understands what the basis of reality is and lives these mitzvot with a framework and a mindset of Kedusha, I think you're good to go. I think we've all got what to work on. But to close this section of Sefer Vayikra, again, before we move on to this somehow beyond baseline Kedusha that comes in Emor, Baharim, B'chukotai, which seems like where can you go past this? We'll have to deal with that when we get back from break. But let's take that same narrative that we've been working through from Shmini and bring it down. When a person enters into a relationship with somebody else, and I said we'll avoid the marriage. We can use the marriage as a framework. It's the most fundamental relationship, and it doesn't have to be specific. Once you start saying it, it's very obvious. It works in human relationships as well. Because the relationship with the spouse is the microcosm of the relationship we're meant to have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The first thing that a person needs to do, what's the first thing the Torah tells us how to do in the paradigm of Toma, Tahara, Chol, Kodesh? What does the Torah tell us to do? What does it deal with first? Animals. hopefully not. In terms of the relationship. What is it? No. Coming all the way back. No, what term? What term does it deal with first? Sorry, I was being clear. What term does it deal with first? Tuma first. Tuma. Meaning. What's the first way to work towards making that relationship work? Now, I know this unbelievable woman. She's amazing. She's a psychologist in Yerushalayim. And she uses a particular phrase that always stuck with me. She talks about one of the most difficult things, one of the things that absolutely guarantees that a relationship will break down, any relationship, by the way, any relationship, breaks it down guaranteed. Listen to the words that she uses. She's a very holy woman. I don't know if she made these connections. I wouldn't be surprised if she did. She says, when there's stuff in the way of the sacred space between two people, then they can't be in a relationship. What a more beautiful way to say everything that we've learned from Shmini up until now, in one sentence. And that's what she talks about. I've spoken to her about it. She's unbelievable. When there's stuff in the sacred space between two people, there can't be a relationship. And the goal then is to start to work to remove the things that are blocking that relationship, that are sitting in that sacred space. That the first thing one needs to do is to start, if there are any blockages in the relationship between the people, to take those things and start to identify what blockages are there. Why don't we seem like we're on the same page? When we're arguing, why are we arguing? It's because we're both hurt from something. Because there's something sitting there that we're not talking about that's getting in the way. And we may not even know what it is. Look how many parshiyot it took to define what is tumah. Things that we never would have thought. It's sometimes very hard to identify what that blockage is. But if I'm not relating to the person, if there's something that's impeding the relationship between myself and the other, between myself and my wife, we have to sit there and figure out, what is it really that's bothering you? And have the care and the concern and the dedication, the focus, Kedusha, that focus on the other to say, what's there? What's blocking this? What's really going on? Not only that I'm doubting you, but something's up here. Something's going on. It's not about that stupid thing that we're arguing about. I've never argued this. It doesn't matter whether... It's not about whether or not the cap of the toothpaste is on or off. We're not really fighting about that. Who cares? What are we really fighting about that's somehow coming out that way? And identifying what that blockage is. And then working to be mitaher. To purify. To create an open space where that relationship can flow by removing that blockage. Any of you who've been in a fight with a good friend, with a parent, that's a very hard process. Being mitaher oneself is very hard, but you'll also know that once you remove that blockage, there is a sense of relief, but there's still a sense of distance. Because we've been fighting for the last day, 2 days, week, month. So we finally figured out what it is and got out of the way, but I still feel distant. Why do I still feel distant? Because that's not the end of the process. There's tum'ah, and everything has to fit together. You told me, we spoke about the fact that, like, you know, like, we've been in this for a while, and a lot of it seems like it's meant to be repetitive. If everything that we learn doesn't interlock with each other perfectly, it means it's not one Torah. So if you and your mind are linking back to the Shmini Atzeret and Klas Torah Shir, then you're doing a good thing. Okay? So when one removes that, one has achieved Tahara, but what is one not yet achieved? Mm-hmm. Not yet achieved Kedusha. Because there's no longer negative feelings there, but what isn't there yet fully reestablished? Ahava. Now I need to start channeling goodness, tov, through that empty channel to reestablish that relationship of ahava, of kedusha. And that takes time and effort and energy as well. The implication of that being, by the way, and this is something that my Rebbe told me in my second year, we were talking about certain things. And it blew my mind when he told me this long before I learned his Vayikra Shirin. My Rebbe Yerbam told me. He said on a certain level, what Kedusha is, very simply, and it sounds fluffy, and it sounds, unfortunately, other religions may have tried to steal this core concept and then manipulate it in a way that's not Jewish. But what really that is flowing between us and God? What really is flowing in that channel? Kedusha, but what's another way to say Kedusha? Ahava. Judaism is about love. At its core. What other religions don't get or they fully understood when they chose to switch things up is what did they drop? What did they drop? What did they miss? Which is why it's so distorted. They dropped, they kept the Kruvim, but they dropped the Aron. If you don't have the proper way to know how to channel that relationship, then we come back to selfish giving. I'm giving what I want to give you, the way I want to do it. That's not giving, that's taking. I'm taking what I want by giving to you. That's what happens when you drop the Aron. But with the Aron there to create that, the Aron is telling us how to truly funnel and channel Kedusha in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and Ahava, love, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's what it's all about. The fundamental principles of reality are giving, goodness, and love. That's true. Within the context and the framework and the laws of Torah. And then once it's there, what's the last piece that's missing that we talked about the last two shirim? Doing goodness and love in the context of the mitzvot of the Torah. And then adding in all of that dimension of what I'm pouring in of my intentions, my kavanot, my goals, everything about my last time. Once it's no longer Auster food, it's now Mutter food, but I'm now eating it. What's left? What's going on in my mind? What am I relating to in my inner space, in my inner core? And who's the only two things that know that? Me and God. Myself and the other, and only those two people. Only those two people, quote unquote. That's a dynamic reality of Kedusha in this world, and that's why the most Kedusha relationship in this world is between a husband and a wife, because it mimics that reality down here. And Kedusha itself is that relationship of the Kedush Baruch. That's what we're striving for. And what else could possibly be the centerpiece of the Torah? What else could possibly be the centerpiece of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? What else could possibly be the centerpiece of all of reality? This is it. And if everything else doesn't funnel and channel back to this, there's something wrong. One can assume that there's tumah in the system. It needs to be weeded out until it does funnel back here.
This is the centerpiece of everything.
Mitzvah Hashem, we should all be zochet to be able to keep a clarity, to have tara, keep a clarity of what Kedusha is, to keep a clarity of how to apply it in all of our relationships, specifically how to maintain it in a relationship with God Himself, how to maintain it with and create one with a reality of a marriage of Kedusha with our spouses, and that it all should be able to be maintained in that way, with that focus, with that clarity, and seep into every single relationship that we have, as is defined by Parshat Kedoshim, and in all Kol HaTorah Kulo. Bezrat Hashem.